All right, thank you for that good singing. Have you enjoyed yourself today? Say amen. Amen. Oh boy, was that pitiful or what? You enjoyed yourself today?
Amen.
I knew we had one here, amen. You know, that's the language of God's church. Old Brother Finney used to say, when Brother Amen and Sister Tears leaves our church, then we're in bad trouble. And there needs to be a response. Amen means you know what's going on. So if you don't know what's going on, just don't say amen. You'll get that after a while. All right, I appreciate the message that the Lord put in Bridger's heart to bring to us. And I want to close out with a little thought. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 9, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter number 9. And verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I hate to tell you, but I've got word that everybody in here has a deadly disease. Everybody in here has blood poisoning. You pick that disease up when you receive blood from your father at conception. Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and the sentence of death is passed on to all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's us. And the wages of sin is death. God said in the Garden of Eden, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. They died spiritually, and then Adam and Eve died physically. If you look in chapter number 5, it said they lived and they lived and they died. And every time it said they died, they died, they died, they died, it's saying God's word is so. The Lord said sin is going to bring death. And every one of us sitting here has blood poisoning. We're on a collision course with death. He asked me to speak for just a few minutes, and I thought, you know, I saw some of you, I guess it was last year in this meeting. How many of you heard me preach last year? Anybody? Oh yeah, a good group of you. Well, I may never see you again. You may never see me again. You never know. God willing, I want to get on an airplane about Thursday morning and head back to the States. In a little while, you'll get in your transportation and you'll be going back to where you came from. And hopefully, you will arrive. But there have been many people on the highways of Australia and America, they got in their car today, headed to their destination, and never made it there. They wound up in eternity. A lot of folk got up this morning and they had their plans. They would do this, that, or the other, but their heart burst in their chest, or a little blood vessel burst in their brain and an aneurysm came. Or some fluke, something happened and they wound up dying. Somebody's swimming and gets a cramp in their leg and they go down, and into eternity they go. And you can leave this life a million different ways. Though you're young, though you're healthy, though in a youth meeting you wouldn't think that we should stop and think about the fact we're going to die, but the truth is, we're going to die. I'm not guessing. I'm not saying that 60% of the people in here are going to die. Or even 80%. You say, well, maybe I can slip by if it's 80%. But no, 100%. Everybody here has a sentence of death. Sure, we exercise, try to eat right and healthy and all those things. And we try to dodge danger and being foolish and stupid and trying to spare our lives as much as we can. There's a natural preservation in us for us to want to live. But you can only dodge it for so long. And the wages of sin is death, and it's appointed unto men once to die. Now, you've got an appointment. I've got an appointment. I don't know where it is or when it's going to be. I'm like one old preacher. He said, if I knew where I was going to die at, I wouldn't go there. Well, we don't know what's around the next turn or around the next bend. I was getting ready to go to Egypt to preach one time. And they'd had some real persecution from the Muslims against the Christians there. And I got a little bit apprehensive about it. There was some time between the time I would leave and get there. But during that time, we had a fellow who owned a big camp. People come in from all over the world, young people. It was a summer camp. A real athletic guy, multimillionaire. We had an ice storm where the ice had broken trees down and caused the power to go out. So he and his wife decided they would cook on the grill of the Barbie and have some steak. They sat down at their table, and while he was eating, he got choked on a piece of steak, and he died. This is a nostalgic man. He's a proper man. He's a mannerable man, all of that, but it happened to him. And I heard about that, and it was very saddened to my heart. But when I heard about it, the Lord said, I don't have to have a Muslim to take your head off. I can come get you at a table and allow you to get choked on a piece of food. I don't have to have an enemy come and shoot you with a gun. I can come after you any way I want to come get you. And God's sovereign. That is, He's in charge of life and death. And when He comes after you, He's not going to ask you. He'll not ask me. He'll not ask my wife or my family. If it's all right, when God gets ready to come after us, He's coming after us. And there's no wall high enough to keep Him out. There's no amount of money that can bribe Him and pay Him off. And you can't talk your way out of it. And when your time comes, it'll be there. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And as He spoke to me about saying a few words, I just thought, I don't know if I'll ever see you again. You don't know if you'll ever see me again. We just don't know. I was on a Blackfeet Indian reservation. It's a Native American community of Indians. And we had a tent set up. And a new family came that night. I looked back in the back and it was a man, his wife, his 21-year-old son, and his 10-year-old daughter. She was the most beautiful little black-haired, black-eyed Indian girl you ever saw. And I preached that night. We gave an invitation. We went on about the service, and I went back and spoke to them. They said, oh, we didn't know about the meeting, but we'll be here tomorrow night, and I'll have my son and daughter with me. I said, okay, I'll look for you. Well, I got up that night. They weren't there. I preached and finished the meeting, sitting on the front row praying with an elderly lady, and all of a sudden this car came in the parking lot. Fella jumped out of it. He said, Pastor, we think Megan's been killed downtown riding on a four-wheeler, quad bike, as you would say. And in a few minutes, about 5 minutes, here come that mother and father back in. They were driving a gray van. I'll never forget it. He got out. He went around and around that van holding his head. She was inside. She was beating the dash, screaming and crying. And while I was preaching, they'd stayed at home. And those two little girls were riding up the side of the road, not on the road, but away from the road. But a fellow that was drunk come flying down the highway, hit his brakes, slid sideways, hit that little four-wheeler, and those two little girls splattered them down the highway, and they didn't have enough of their bodies to even have an open funeral casket. You know what God said to me? You thought you'd have another shot at that 10-year-old girl. That 21-year-old boy, you thought you'd have another opportunity. I didn't. I may not have another opportunity. You may not have another opportunity. And that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. And if we could drill a hole through this platform and drop a fireproof microphone into hell and interview people that are there, how many would say, I didn't mean to come here. I'd heard the truth. I knew the truth. I meant that one day I would repent. One day I would get right with God. But it just came on me so suddenly that I didn't have a chance. If I could have another chance, just another chance. But there'll be no other chance. If you don't get saved before you leave this life, the day of grace is over with. And you don't have another opportunity. And that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You have an appointed time. I have an appointed time. I don't know when it is. You don't know when it is. And therefore, we need to be ready at all times. Not only an appointment, but we see that there's an afterlife. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this. After this. You mean there's an after this? Yes, and the after this is a whole lot longer than this life. If you live to be 100 years old, what's that in comparison to eternity and the forever? You know, it's a universal belief that there is an afterlife. When they began to uncover the tombs of the Egyptians, they found all kind of things buried with the pharaohs. And they said, we're doing this to help them in the afterlife. When they came to America, they found the graveyards of the native Indians there. And they had all kind of weaponry and different things. And they were saying, we give this to those that have died for the afterlife. Down in Brazil, in the jungles there, those natives there, they believe in an afterlife. And we know that there's something after you breathe your last breath. The world doesn't know what, and they can't know what. But we step on the other side of death because Jesus is the eternal God, and He tells us what's waiting on the other side. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this what? The judgment. The judgment. And there'll be two judgments. There'll be a judgment for believers. If you're saved, you'll give an account of your life from the time you get saved to the time you go home. I think about the fact I got saved as a teenager, and the Lord called me to preach, and I've been at it over 40 years. I don't even look 40 years old, do I? I was at a youth meeting here a while back and had another young preacher preach, and he got up and said, it's good to have these old preachers like Brother Randy here preaching. I said, shut up and preach, boy. Amen. I don't feel old, but 40 years, man, whew, they're gone, and you wonder where it went to. Thank God I got on the camel of grace a long time ago, and I said, Lord, you lead, I'll follow. And man, has it been a trip. I never dreamed I'd get out of the little country town of Green River, North Carolina. We don't even have a red light there. We got one gas station, and that's it. But you know what? Been riding this camel of grace. God's carried us all over this world. We've seen people saved on every continent except Antarctica, and there's just a bunch of penguins down there. So we'll leave that to the scientists, okay? But God's just been so good. And it's went by so fast, so fast. But one day I'll turn around and I'll give an account of my life for what I did for Jesus. And I'll stand before God and I feel so unworthy. And as I look back over these years, I say, oh my, how much more could I have done for the glory of God? Missionary Kenneth Gates tells about a little boy that had a sack full of diamonds. And he was sitting on the side of a river. And he was taking them out and he was throwing them as far as he could throw them and then watching them splash. And a man came up to him and said, what are you throwing, son? He said, oh, these rocks. He said, let me see that. He said, oh, these are diamonds. Do you not realize how much these are worth? And he explained to him the value of those diamonds. And the little boy just started crying, just boo-hooing his eyes out. And the fellow said, why are you crying, man? You got a sack full of diamonds. He said, oh, but I've thrown so many of them away. To throw our lives away day by day. You, man, you've got youth. You've got health. You've got opportunity ahead of you. You've got a future. You've got a path and a record that has not been written yet. God can use you. There's people all over this world lost, dying, and going to hell. And all of these tribes and countries and people, and the Lord could call you to preach. You could yield to that. You could be a missionary, or a pastor's wife, Sunday school teacher, serve God, be a godly homemaker, raise your children in nurture and admonition of the Lord, and say, for me to live is Christ, and day by day give your all to Jesus. And when you stand before Him, if He calls you to be a Christian carpenter or a mechanic or an evangelist to travel the world or a missionary or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, If it's for me to live as Christ and you've just done what God wants you to do, then you don't have to fear that day. We all have a fear in our heart that we didn't do all that we could, and none of us will ever do what we could. But to give our all and serve Jesus that loved us so much, my, what a wonderful thing it is. Just spend your life. We can cry about those diamonds we throwed away. But right now, you've got a pretty full sack, as far as we know, of days ahead that you can serve the Lord. But after this, the judgment, when a lost person dies, they wind up in hell. There's only one way to heaven. That is Jesus Christ, by faith in His blood. And if you've not been born again, if you've not repented of your sins and trusted Christ, then God has no other alternative but to punish you in the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. God's a holy God. He cannot, He will not, He shall not tolerate sin. And your sin will be dealt with in one of two places. Either you can trust Jesus Christ and call on Him and the blood can be applied and your sins can be washed away and forgiven and paid for through the blood of Christ, or Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And you've treasured up wrath against the day of wrath. And He that delivered me unto you hath the greater condemnation, Jesus said to the Pharisees. The wrath of God abideth upon men that hold the truth in unrighteousness but will not repent. And that sin is a transgression against an eternal, holy God. There will be an account given for every one of them. And it'll be forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and as many forevers as you could ever say. There long, there'll never be an end to that. It's everlasting punishment, Jesus said. When Jesus got ready to emphasize how important it is to get saved, He used extreme illustration. He said, if your eye offends you, if that's why you won't get saved, if that's your excuse, pluck your eye out. If your hand's the reason you won't get saved, hey, cut your hand off. If your foot's why you won't get saved, you got places to go, cut your foot off. Go through life without a hand and an eye and a foot rather than go into hell having your body healthy and can run like a racehorse but run into hell. Jesus used another extreme illustration. He said there was a beggar man. He had absolutely nothing. But his name is Lazarus. He was saved. There was a rich man. He had everything the world could offer. But he was lost. Who's better off? This poor beggar man or the rich man? Well, as far as the world goes, the rich man. But as far as God goes, that beggar man's a whole lot better off because he was saved. And they both had to die because it's appointed unto men once to die. And then came the judgment. The rich man went to hell, and there he's in hell till this day. But Lazarus, helped of God, saved by the grace of God, he's in the paradise of God. He's with the Lord Jesus forever and forever and forever and forever. You say, what's the remedy to standing before God? It's right here in our scripture. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Brother, you gave that illustration. Look and live. Look and live. The snakes had bitten the children of Israel. They were dying. And a simple message went through the camp. Look, look and live. Look and live. One fellow said, oh, that won't work. What we need is anti-snake bite serum. Another said, no, that won't work. That's not scientifically possible. That doesn't compute in my reasoning mind. I can't figure this out. But another old guy, man, he's bid, his face is swelling up, his eyes are glazing over, and his heart's getting stiff and pounding in his chest, and he's about to die. And he said, you know what? Moses was right 10 out of 10 times when he preached before. I think I'm just going to trust God. He crawls out on his hands and his knees and he looks to the brazen serpent that God said look upon. And when he did, he could barely see. But as he cracked his eyes open and he looked the best he could, and it was a faint vision, he caught a glimpse of the brazen serpent. Then his eyes opened up and whew, the swelling went down. Boy, his heart rate returned to normal. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I don't have to die. Now you reckon what he did? I'd say he probably went back in the tent and said, Oh, wife, look at me. I'm whole now. But you were bit with the same serpents I was bitten with. You were dying a moment ago. Yes, but God gave us a message of mercy. Look and live, look and live. You too, but I'm so bad off, no worse than I. Let me help you to the door. She goes to the door, and boy, she can barely look. But boy, she looks, the clearer it becomes. And suddenly, whew, boy, she's spared. You reckon what Mom and Dad did? You think maybe they went and grabbed the children by the hand? And said, oh, children, look what God has done. Look and live. Look and live. Well, today, I've looked to Jesus, who bled and died on the cross of Calvary. And He rose from the dead for our sakes, that we might be saved. And in simple faith, I looked to Him, and He gave me eternal life. And I've told my family about it, and I'm telling others about it, and I'm telling you about it today. You can be prepared to meet God. Salvation is for life, and salvation is for death. And if you're not 100% sure that you're saved, you've got blood poisoning, death is on your trail, you need to make sure that you know, that you know, that you know that you're saved by the grace of God. And your soul is too important for you to jeopardize it. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what are you going to give in exchange for your soul when you stand before God? Let's bow our heads and hearts. Brother, if you'll come on the piano, please. We'll have you play some number. If you're here today and you have not been saved by the grace of God, I thank you for coming, being a part of these youth groups. But just coming to church and being a part of the youth groups, not what it takes. As Jesus touched the blind man's eyes, he went out seeing. So he can touch you today and you can be saved. You don't have to live unprepared, and you sure don't have to die unprepared. Jesus is able to save. And then you that are saved today, are you really serving Him? Have you said, Lord, I know I'll give an account to You one day, and I want to give a good account. You've been so good to me. Lord, I want to serve You. I wonder if our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. Nobody's looking around. I know I'm saved. Raise your hand and give God a wave offering of thanksgiving. You know that you know that you're saved. All right, you can put your hand down. Now, there's some of you couldn't raise your hand. And if there'd been a wreck on the way home and the whole busload got killed, there'd been a separation right there. And you know where you would have went. We don't want that to happen. Jesus died that you might be saved. If you'd like to be saved, God spoke to your heart, you want to come and kneel on this altar, or somebody to take you to a room aside and speak to you about it. We'll pray with you. Try to help you any way that we can. If you'd like to do that, I'd invite you to come. And as a child of God, is there something the Lord wants you to do? Is your life getting by without you having direction from Him? Do you want Him to guide you? And I'm not saying that He'll give you the full guidance of life today, but you'll get headed in that direction. Yes, I want to know what God wants for my life. I don't want to spend it in vain. Let's stand all over the house. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Brother, you just play some number. If you don't slip out and come pray, we've got lost folk in our midst, and I pray that God's children would obey the Lord. Maybe you've got sin in your life. Maybe you need reviving. Maybe you've got a real burden on your heart that nobody knows about but you and God. And you want to come leave it at this altar. You want to cast your care at Jesus' feet. Why don't you do that? He can help you. He can help you, and I point you to Him. And if there's one here lost, you need to come. You slip out and come right now as we wait. Merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity, come to Him. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out, Jesus said. The Lord spoke to you.